grace and mercy and peace from God our Father and the Lord our Savior Jesus Christ. We do have individuals who've come today for baptism. And so I'd like for us in this sermon time to look at baptism. And first I'll turn to Romans chapter 6. And I'd like us to just spend a few minutes together thinking about baptism. And then we'll proceed with the baptism service. So beginning in Romans chapter 6. And I'd like to read just a little bit, just a section. Romans chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's pray together. God our Father, we thank you for your grace and your abundant mercy. We thank you that we can gather to worship you and to fellowship with other believers who love us and to hear from your holy word and to be encouraged by the gospel. Lord, for this opportunity where we can lift our eyes off of the usual cares of the week or the troubles or the issues going on, and we can look up to Christ our Savior. We can look up to the Father and to the Holy Spirit and be refreshed and renewed, reminding us of what you have done for us and of the good things you have for us as we worship you and bless your name today. So we pray that as we look into your word now, you would bless us, save lost sinners. If there's some who've never looked for and never found the Savior, Lord, we pray that today through this worship service, even in these moments, hearing about Jesus dying on the cross and rising again, we pray that you would draw them to yourself, that they would repent and fall on their knees in repentance and believe in Christ, the Savior. And Lord, for we who are believers, nourish us, refresh us, and build us up. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, here in Romans 6, we have the concepts of baptism linked with union with Christ. And we've talked about union with Christ in the past, and I take this as a symbol. When we turn from our sins, and when we believe in the Lord Jesus, we are placed into Christ. We come to be in union with the Savior, Christ Jesus. We are joined to him the Bible says. And baptism, as we'll see a little bit later, is for those who are believers in Christ. And baptism is one way to show that they are in Him and He is in them. Baptism shows that you believe in Christ and that you belong to Christ and are in Him. And the scriptures use different representations to show what it is to be in union or connected. He's the vine and we're the branches. And so we can think of that organic vine and the branches together. They're together. Another image is He's the head and we're the members of His body. The point is union with Him. And specifically here in Romans 6, in the context of talking about being baptized into Him, specifically talking about union with Him, but specifically being united to Him in His death and in His resurrection. And so baptism is a picture, a representation to us of our union with Christ and of our death and burial and resurrection spiritually with Him. When He died and was buried, we, because we're in union with Him spiritually, died. The passage we looked at says the old man, that is that old, sinful, corrupt person, that person that we're all born into the world with sin and all born into the world really twisted, and that becomes evident as we grow and as we act. But the scriptures are saying that through union with Christ, and the picture of baptism is that that old sinful man was crucified and put to death and was buried. And that we are dead to sin. That old sinful person needed to die and be put to death. You see, in the Christian faith, it's not just that we believe that you just need a little therapy or you just need a little moral improvement. It's not that we need moral improvement or a little bit of ethics. It's that we need death and resurrection. And the self was taken care of at the cross 2,000 years ago. And we're raised to newness of life. And so through our union with Christ, we're told in the scriptures that we are buried with Him by baptism, as a symbol, a picture of that death. And so, in a real way, we might say, for these individuals being baptized today, according to this picture, you know, this baptistry, here lies old so-and-so. And the old person is dead and buried. And that's a great relief to those of us who are sinners, to know that that person has been dealt with. And the scriptures here in Romans tell us that when He rose, because we're united to Him, we rose spiritually. The scriptures say to walk in newness of life. You can have a new life. The old can be dead and buried and put away. And Christ washes and cleanses. And what a blessed thing, we can have a new life. And baptism is used in this passage and indicating this type of picture. And so it's a fitting symbol and representation of these amazing spiritual truths. Now, I want to hasten to say, we don't believe that putting somebody in water and taking them out of it spiritually accomplishes these things. These things are done by Christ 2,000 years ago and are done by the Holy Spirit when we repent and believe in Christ. It would be possible for someone to go through a baptism ceremony but not truly be saved. And so it's not, we don't teach that it regenerates or makes you born again here today. As we'll see, it's for those who are already trusting in Christ and have had that spiritual rebirth. Baptism is a fitting representation of these things. So we'll see in a few moments, seven individuals will stand before us and one at a time enter the baptistry, and we'll see the person. At first, you'll see them, but then they'll be placed totally under the water. They'll be fully immersed and out of our sight for that moment, symbolizing death and burial. Their death and burial spiritually in Christ. And then you'll see them raised up out of the water, representing that they have risen again with Christ out of the grave and are risen spiritually to walk in newness of life. It's a fitting reminder of union with Christ, of dying with him to sin, and rising with him to be made new and alive. It's a fitting symbol of our washing and cleansing that we have in Christ. And I praise the Lord that this is the gospel we believe in, and these are the things handed down to us by our Lord, so that we can always remember the good news of great joy, that we can be forgiven, that we can be washed and cleansed by the Lord. And again, it's a symbol, it's a picture. What actually saves us is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, hanging on the cross 2,000 years ago and taking upon himself all of the sins of the world. And are you in the world? So can I say to you this morning that Jesus died for your sins too? He died for you too. And then how he rose again. And when we repent of our sin, when we just admit, and that humility comes in, we're brokenhearted for our sins, and we realize, and that pride breaks, that hard heart that tries to hold it all together and be self-righteous. Finally, when it breaks and we fall in the dust of repentance before God and just admit it all, that we need washing and forgiveness and new life, then we find Christ and his grace. The thief on the cross, you might remember when Jesus was crucified that day, that crown of thorns and the whip and the scourge, and then being nailed to the cross and hanging there, that there were two thieves that were crucified, and both of those thieves mocked the Lord even as he was dying there. But then one of them, we're told in Scripture, got very, very serious as he got close to his own death, as he was being executed as a criminal, as a thief. And he repented, and he trusted in the Lord Jesus, and he believed in him. And Jesus said to that man, "Truly, truly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." And that thief was not a baptized man that we know of. So it's really the spiritual that we have to believe in him. But Christ did command that those who believe in him be baptized as a step of obedience. And as a symbol, and certainly it can serve as a public profession and confession of faith in Christ before others. Jesus said, "If you confess me before men," and so he expected his disciples to be people who would stand up before others and say, "I'm a believer in Christ," and in a real way, baptism is a way to do that. And so these seven individuals will stand before us here today, and they're being baptized here openly in this open gathering with other people before them, making that profession of faith that I confess that I am a sinner, I believe in Christ as the Savior, and I am in him, and my sins are washed away, I've been given new life. And now, just very briefly, I'd like us to turn to Acts chapter 8, and I'd like to just look at one account of a baptism, Acts chapter 8, and just the end here of the chapter, Acts chapter 8, verses 25 through 40, as we look at the scriptures. And Philip was a man who was filled with the Holy Spirit and preached the gospel, and he went out from the church and he was sent to different areas. He went to the area of Samaria and he was going to these towns and telling people about Jesus, which is the greatest news in the world. That it's not about church. You know, he didn't go out and say, come to Main Street Church or come to this program or that. He preached Jesus and the amazing story, the true account of Christ and of how God is offering to forgive all our sins. And people believed. But then we're told of something here that happened to Philip. In verse 25, and they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise, and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem, unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, and read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. And so we see here this eunuch, this Ethiopian eunuch, he's a high official, he's in the court of Queen Candace, and he has the charge of all her treasure. So he's a man of great authority. He comes from Ethiopia, but he's a worshiper of God, though he doesn't know about Christ yet. He's a worshiper of God, and he has traveled to Jerusalem to worship. And now he's on his way back. But he has the scroll of the prophet Isaiah, and he's reading the scroll. He's reading the scriptures. And he's reading the part from Isaiah 53, a prophecy that Christ would come and that all of our sins would be laid on him and that he would give his life as a ransom for us and that he would suffer as a lamb for the sins of the world. And he asks, who is this written of? And Philip preaches the gospel to him, that this is Jesus. And Philip, no doubt, preaches and speaks to him about all the things that have happened in recent days. And the eunuch, hearing the gospel about Jesus dying and rising again, believes. And as they come along, the eunuch sees water, and he wants to be baptized. So notice it's his own desire. He initiates the question. And I imagine that Philip had included something about baptism when he talked with the eunuch and told him the record of Christ. Perhaps that after Christ was crucified and risen again, before he ascended, he commanded us to go out and to preach in his name, and that those who believe should be baptized and should be taught. So no doubt Philip included something about that as he presented the gospel. But the eunuch is the one who desires here to be baptized, and he's the one who asks about it. It's not something forced upon him. It's not something that he had no control over that somebody did to him without his knowledge or involuntarily. It was his own personal choice as a believer in Christ. He chose to be baptized in obedience. And so it is today. Seven individuals have heard about baptism here in the church, and they have desired to be baptized. And they had to come of their own will and inquire about being baptized. And we took opportunity to meet with them and to talk with them about Christ and salvation and about baptism. But the desire is theirs today. It's nothing forced on them by someone else. So I guess what I'm saying is this is very, very personal for them. It's from the heart with them and the Lord. They desire to be baptized this morning and to take this step of obedience and to show that they are his and in union with him and that they are dead and raised to a new life in Christ. Philip, when the eunuch inquires about it, Philip doesn't just say yes right away with no consideration for anything, but verse 37 tells us, Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart." So there's a condition. There's a requirement. If you believe with all your heart, then you can be baptized. Baptism is for believers. It's for those who truly know Jesus personally, who have repented of their sins to him and have believed in him and accepted him and his offers of salvation. It's a beautiful statement. If you believe with all your heart, you may. And in talking with these seven individuals, this passage was brought up to them. And this was stated to them, if you believe with all your heart, then you may. And then the eunuch gives his confession of faith. He answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And so baptism is for those who believe. And what we see in the pattern throughout Scripture is that it's their choice as a believer, knowing with all of their faculties that they have believed in Christ. Earlier in this very chapter, we read of Philip preaching to the towns of Samaria, and Acts 8:12 says, "But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women." So the words of Scripture are clear. When they believed, they were baptized. And we read in Acts 2, the day of Pentecost, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized." So the picture in Scripture is believers. So someone hears the gospel and repents of their sin and believes in Christ, and then that believer may be baptized. And I've talked with each of these seven individuals, and they have said that they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's their desire now to be baptized. And so baptism is for believers. It's that step of obedience to Christ's command. It's a confession that we believe in the Lord Jesus personally and have accepted him. It represents our union with Christ. We're baptized into Christ Jesus. It represents that we've died with him and been buried, that old man, and risen again spiritually to walk in newness of life. And we praise God for his grace and his mercy in saving individuals and bringing them to himself to be washed and cleansed and for the old to be put to death and put away and buried and for rising again with Christ to newness of life. So we are so thankful to the Lord.